And welcome to Wise Guys. These guys know sports on this Monday, August the 3rd. Another day on the Wise Guys show on the Worldwide Sports Network with my co-host, Mr. Clarence Nixon. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, man. How you doing today, man? Happy Monday to you, Trey.
Happy Monday to you, brother. How was your weekend? Did anything special happen this weekend with your daughter? What was she up to? I know she'd be busy, man. What happened this weekend, man? Tell me something.
We just hung out. We just hung out all weekend. We actually got some sleep in. And I enjoyed the company with her. So me and her and then the girlfriend. Yeah. Me and me. Yeah, we had a good time. We had a good time this weekend. What about you?
That's what's up, man. I had Trey Mirror this weekend too. So it was I guess it was the weekend to have your kids. When I had Trey Mirror, we kinda watched some TV, played some PlayStation. He got this game now that he plays. so he has this game now. He's been really playing it. This game called Modern Warfare, so he like playing that. It's called Minecraft. It's a kid's game. He loved it. Like he always playing it all the time. So
I know definitely Minecraft is.
Yeah, he loved that. He loved that game. Everybody remember going follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. We're live here on the Worldwide Sports Network. Also, go and follow the Worldwide Sports Network as well on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube as well. And remember to follow our YouTube channel, Wise Guys Sports and Worldwide Sports Network as well. So we got an action jam-packed show ahead, everybody. Odell Beckham speaks out. He says he doesn't think the 2020 NFL season should go ahead with everything that's going on with the coronavirus. Also, do me and Clarence believe that Tyreek Hill is a top five NFL receiver? And we have our NBA Coach of the Year award given out to Mike Budenholzer from the Milwaukee Bucks and Billy Donovan of OKC Thunder. We'll talk about that and more a little bit later on the show, Clarence. But we began in the NBA in the bubble down in Orlando.
And bubble!
Over the weekend, the NBA champions, let's call them the reigning NBA champion, Toronto Raptors, beat the Los Angeles Lakers 107-92. For the Los Angeles Lakers, this was season lows in field goal percentage. They only shot 35% from the floor. Season low in made field goals, only 29 field goals made for the game and only 17 assists for the game. So my question for you, Clarence, is as we open up the show today, do you have any concerns about your Lakers, the team that you picked to come out of the West?
I like the intro. But I'm not a Lakers fan, though, for everybody that's watching and listening. I'm not a Lakers fan.
But you picked them to come out of the West.
Yeah, I picked them to win the finals. But listen, let me tell you something, brother. Any concerns that I got for the L.A. Lakers? One, AD needs to play better. I mean, truly, come on. 2-7? 2-7 and 35 minutes straight? 2-7? He only shot 7 shots and only made 2 in 35 minutes? It's ridiculous. And guess what? He wasn't even the leading rebounder on his team. So that's something that they have to fix. He has to play better. He has to play better in meaning times, man. And another thing is they got to get more players involved. They need more players involved. I see Caruso and Deion Waiters. They are contributing to the team play, and that's a lot. But Kuzma, he has to shoot the ball better. 5-16 against the Raptors? Yeah. And guess what? They was 10 for 40 on threes all night. I'm like, what? It's a disaster, man. That team, you had to get more players involved. Like J.R. Smith, he has to get involved with the game. Like Alex Caruso is showing his talent. I mean, and then the field goal percentage, like you just stated, you know, 35% season low. I think that they got to make smart shots and not rush all their shots. But I still think they're still in competition in the Western Conference. It just at the same time, they can't force a lot of shots. They got good shooters. KCP, J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, Caruso, even Braun, even AD. Hey, JaVale McGee might throw up one. They got nice shooters all over the team. They just got to take the right smart shots for their team. But I think they're fine. They're just fine. I think they're just, you know, conditioning.
Yeah, the question was, do you have any concerns about the Lakers? You named your concerns. I got a few concerns, and I agree with you about Anthony Davis. I told you about Anthony Davis in the game when he played, when he went up against the Clippers on, what was that, Thursday night when they played the Clippers.
Thursday, yep.
Yeah, and I told you, yeah, he had 34 points, but in the fourth quarter, he only scored 2 points. And
yeah.
In this matchup against the Raptors, he only shot 7 shot attempts. He was not aggressive whatsoever. And that's the problem I have with AD. We all know Anthony Davis is one of the best players we have in the NBA. Top 5 player as far as I'm concerned. But the problem is with Anthony Davis, there are games where I'll look at the stat sheet afterwards, and I'm like, AD, where were you? Where were you? Sure. Like, you have to be more aggressive, and you have to really ingratiate yourself with the offense and be aggressive. You have to demand the basketball from your teammates. And I thought early on in the game against the Clippers on Thursday night, he did that. But as the game went along, he got less aggressive. And that's what I want to say about LeBron. LeBron, I felt like in Thursday night's matchup against the Clippers, LeBron made a conscious effort to get AD the ball in his spots to be successful. Because LeBron knows what I know and everybody else, what everybody else knows. In order for the Lakers to win the championship, it won't be because of LeBron James. It's going to be because of Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has to do a better job of asserting himself and being more aggressive on the offensive end of the floor. Because that's what it's going to take for the Lakers to get where they want to get to and reach their ultimate goal of winning the championship. Because majority of teams in the NBA, they have no answers for Anthony Davis. You can't stop AD once he gets it going. And he had it going those first 3 quarters against the Clippers. And against the Raptors on Saturday night, he just didn't show up. He didn't show up. And it ain't even the fact that he missed a lot of shots. It's the fact he didn't take many shots. 2 of 7 from the floor? What are you doing, Anthony Davis? Yes, in 35 minutes. What are you doing? You're better than that. We think you're better than that. We know that you're better than that. And you know that you're better than that. LeBron knows that you're better than that. So we need more out of Anthony Davis overall. But when it comes to the Lakers as a team, I told you, after LeBron James and Anthony Davis, there is a significant drop-off in production. That's why I don't understand for the life of me why you think that this team is loaded. That's the word that you used on the show a few weeks ago. You said this Lakers team is loaded. Instead of, I think the better word would have been that they have experience. Not loaded. They're not loaded at all. Like, they're a top-heavy basketball team. They're very top-heavy. After LeBron and Anthony Davis, there is a major drop-off, and it showed itself in this matchup against the Raptors because LeBron and AD didn't really play very well. Therefore, the Raptors took advantage of it.
But when I stated that the Lakers team are loaded. They're loaded with experience and enough skilled players to get past in the playoffs, man. And before we go to another, before we talk about AD, I want to say this to all the Lakers fans out there. If you seriously think Anthony Davis is better than Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're ridiculous. Get drug tested. Okay, now we're gonna move on now. Now, for AD, he has to play better, though, Trey, like you stated. Like, I mean, LeBron James, we know what we expected from him. We need to know what we expected from AD. We know he's a scorer. He's a skilled player that can score everywhere on the court. We know that. But we need him to show up for these games. Like, the next outing, you got, what, the Rockets on, what, Thursday?
I mean, They got the Jazz tonight.
Yeah, they got the Jazz and right then and there. You need him for Rudy Gobert and them big boys right there. Like, that's gonna be a tough one right there. But
yeah, but I think the Jazz been struggling. The Jazz haven't really played well since they've been in the bubble. I don't know if you've been noticing, but they ain't really played well so far.
I think their problem is they're not playing enough defense, or they're not getting more players involved though. It's like a Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert show down there. But yeah, that was going to lead us to my next question to you, though. Do you believe the Lakers are still favorite to go to the Western Conference Finals?
No, because – are the Lakers still your favorites to get – Oh, yeah. I think the Lakers are the favorites to get to the Western Conference Finals. Oh. But let me say something, because we're going to talk about them here in a bit. Let me say this. If you're asking me, do I believe that the Lakers are there still the favorites to get to the Western Conference Finals? My answer would be yes, because I still believe Anthony Davis and LeBron James are two of the top 5 players we have in the NBA. So I'm going to bank on Anthony Davis and LeBron James' production to carry the Lakers once the playoffs start. So I think once the playoffs start and everything settles down, and we got to beat a team 4 out of 7 times in a week, I think the Lakers will be just fine because they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, a dynamic duo that I believe is unstoppable when they have it going. So I still think they are the favorites to get to the Western Conference. But you already know I got the Clippers beating the Lakers in the Western Conference
Finals. See, this is the problem now. The Lakers are loaded with veterans that's been in the playoffs numerous of times. They got players that was on championship teams. What you forget, Rondo, J.R. Smith, JaVale McGee. I mean, those players are going to be more critical. Danny Green. I mean, them players going to be critical in the playoffs, man. I think you're really underestimating these players that I just named, that they're not going to make a big force in the playoffs. I truly believe they're going to beat the Clippers if they play them in the Western Conference. If they play.
So let me ask you a question. We talked about the Clippers on Friday, so yep. And I told you, I'm going to make a point, and I want to get your response on this. On Thursday night, the Clippers played the Lakers without two of their best four players, and Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. And they only lost to the Lakers by 2 points. In that game, the Clippers turned the ball over 20-plus times. So, in that matchup, the Clippers didn't play their best, and two of their best four players were out, and they still only lost to the Lakers by 2 points. And you believe that Lakers team can still beat the Clippers in a seven-game series?
Yes. I truly believe that. I think they're more experienced than that Clippers team. The players I just named, man, they don't go be playing critical roles. They go play critical roles that they already been playing. I truly believe the Lakers is like the team to beat in the West, man.
So can I ask you a question? When you say experience, see, I think experience, playoff experience would matter more if we were in a regular situation, not in the bubble in Orlando. Stay with me. If we were playing like how a normal playoff format would be played, where teams are flying in and out and going all over, you know, from city to city and, you know, night to night, I think that would be a situation where you can say that playoff experience would give you an advantage. But in this particular playoff format, in the bubble in Orlando, I don't think playoff experience is going to matter as much because Let me finish. You all in one setting. You're in one setting. You're not going from city to city, getting on the airplane every night and going back home, or getting on a flight going to the team, the other team that you're playing against. You are in one setting. Therefore, I think it's going to be a situation where not only with the Lakers and Clippers, throughout the whole entire NBA playoffs, I think there are going to be a lot of upsets once we get to the playoffs. Yesterday, Clarence, I watched the Celtics dominate my Trailblazers for 3.5 quarters.
Bad.
All of a sudden, when the fourth quarter came and it was Dame Dollar time, the Trailblazers were winning. We had the Blazers had a chance to win that game yesterday. It ended up being a good game. Then we saw what happened with the Rockets and the Bucks. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. I think it's going to be some unusual outcomes once we get to the playoffs. And it wouldn't surprise me if a team beats another team that may be better, but because we're in the bubble, it's going to be an upset because it's just so many different variables. There's so many different things that's going on. This is unusual.
Can I say something before we move on? I think the playoff experience is still going to be well played enough in this playoff. Let me tell you why. Because they don't have to deal with that animosity from the fans. And, you know, traveling, it's like playing in an open gym with people in the crowd, but they virtual. I think it's going to be more pressure on the people that haven't played in a playoff series. It's going to feel it. The ones that have been in playoff situations, they going to benefit from that because they don't have to travel enough to go to another animosity through a stadium. I think they're going to be happy. They're going to be excited. They're going to be happy.
See, I think when we're talking about playoff experience, I expect stars to show up. Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Giannis. I think the stars always show up. What we're talking about is the role players. I think because we won't have fans in the stands and they don't have to deal with the traveling aspect, I think the role players won't have to deal with the pressure that comes with the playoffs. When you a role player and you on the road, you got all these fans screaming at you, going crazy. Clarence, trust me when I tell you, playoff intensity is different than a regular season. You know it and I know it. It's different.
telling you, man.
It's different. And some of these players can't handle it. But because they go,
It's like a booby trap for the role players. They've never been in this type of situation.
Right. But this year, they don't have no fans to worry about. You can just play your game. It's just like being an open gym. But let's move on to the next question before we move on. Do you think the Lakers should manage LeBron's minutes down the stretch of the regular season?
Do I think that? I think you should just let them play. You know, when LeBron is not on the court, they got a minus 3.3. That's just with AD on just AD by himself. And you know, with LeBron on the team, they're a plus 9.5 right there. So LeBron benefit more than AD when he's on the court. And that's another thing they have to work on. Like they have to like get comfortable with playing without LeBron on the court. I feel like AD has come one day to like play with LeBron off the court. And you know that builds like another scheme up. You know, once okay, we got LeBron resting. Now we got AD and got these young bucks. Now we about to just make something and we go game plan and we just go from there. I think they gotta build the trust of not having Bron on the court. So when he's not on the court,
I say they should manage LeBron's minutes down the stretch. I'm on both sides here. On one end, I say yes, manage his minutes because they had an opportunity to lock up the number one overall seed in the Western Conference if they would have beat the Raptors on Saturday night. They'll get another chance tonight against the Jazz. Once you lock up that number one spot in the Western Conference, I think the last two or three games, you should manage LeBron's minutes. Just a tad bit. He's 35 years of age. I think you're going to need him for the stretch run in the playoffs. He's going to have to carry on a major, major load in the playoffs for you to have a chance to win the NBA championship. So I think they should manage LeBron's minutes once they lock up that number one overall seed in the Western Conference. But until then, I think LeBron James needs to play significant minutes, and I think LeBron James needs to get into a rhythm with his teammates into a nice flow like they had before the NBA shut down, Clarence. I remember I told you this before. Before the NBA shut down, it was a weekend series in L.A. On Friday, LeBron and the Lakers, they beat Giannis and the Bucks. LeBron was making a late surge for NBA MVP. Then on Sunday, right across the hall, they beat Kawhi and the Clippers. I thought the Lakers was rolling at that point. Don't you remember that? They was rolling at that point in the season. I think the Lakers should try to do whatever they can to get back in that type of rhythm before the playoffs. So I say yes, if you lock up the number one seed, limit his minutes. But even if you want to play him, if you Frank Vogel, to get back in that rhythm that you had before the NBA shutdown, I would understand that too. Because I think LeBron James, he has the condition and he's in shape to carry on into the playoffs and keep that same strength and keep, you know what I mean, keep that momentum.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's the kind of player that he is.
Yeah, I think, definitely. For one, like, folks, I'm just going to say something before we move on. Like, I think what the Lakers need to start realizing that these players with – these teams with younger players, they're going to try to outrun LeBron. They want to break the condition, you know. They want to tire him out. They want him to, you know, be tired because they always feel like he's not a tiring person. Like, he always plays, like, 44-plus minutes in the playoffs. So – they go test his ability of his condition. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and one more thing I want to say before we move on to the next topic. This is about the Toronto Raptors. Listen, everybody been talking about the Eastern Conference. We talked about the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis. We talked about the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. We talked about the Sixers and the talent that they have in Embiid and Simmons. We got to start talking about the reigning NBA champion Toronto Raptors. The Toronto Raptors are the real deal, Clarence. They are the real deal. And LeBron said in the post-game presser, he said, everybody wanted to talk about Kawhi, but players in the NBA know that this is a legitimate team. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said basically along those lines, that everybody talked about Kawhi. This was a legitimate team. And you have an up-and-coming star in Siakam. You have a veteran player in Gasol and a nice veteran in Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry played sensational on Saturday night. I was watching him big time shots against LeBron and the Lakers on Saturday. He played great. And then earlier today, I think they played the Denver Nuggets. I'm talking about the Toronto. They played, I think it was Denver. I think it was Denver. If I'm not mistaken. No, it might have been Miami. They might have played Miami earlier in the day. And Fred VanVleet, he had 35 points. So this is a team in the Raptors, Clarence. They know how to win. They have veteran leadership on their team, and they are well coached. They are well coached. Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches we have in the NBA. We're going to talk about NBA Coach of the Year here in a minute. But Nick Nurse is a great coach.
It might be the Bucks and Raptors in the conference finals, man. So
never know.
You tell them then.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Let's move on to the next topic. You know, last night, the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, they played the Houston Rockets, and unfortunately, they lost 120 to 116. And we actually seen that the Milwaukee Bucks, they was leading with 3 minutes left in the quarter. Like 8 minutes in the quarter. Like it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous, and it went bad because I had Milwaukee with my Milwaukee big men, and they didn't come up. But my question is to you, for you though, any concerns with Milwaukee Bucks?
Any concerns with the Milwaukee Bucks? I would say yes, because I told you before I don't believe the Bucks are going to come out the Eastern Conference. I think the Bucks sometimes down the stretch of games they struggle to get key buckets. Like I saw a few plays where Giannis he'd get into the paint. And he was stopped. He couldn't make a play. He couldn't hit any kind of mid-range shot. And that's the difference between Giannis and a James Harden. Giannis and a Kevin Durant. Giannis and a Steph Curry. Giannis and a Kawhi Leonard. Giannis does not have that jump shot to be able to, basically the fact that he doesn't have a great jump shot, he doesn't have that to be able to, navigate and get through and be able to still put points on the board late in games. If he's not getting, huh?
He was 2 for 5 on threes last night.
Yeah, but down the stretch he wasn't. What I'm saying is, when it's late in games, I don't think Giannis still has the confidence in his jump shot to be able to hit shots to help the Bucks in clutch late situations. I just don't think he has the confidence in himself to hit those shots. He doesn't have any answer once you shut him out from the paint. He doesn't have no other answer on his offensive game. I've told you this numerous times. He doesn't.
But think about it, though, Trey. 36 points and 18 rebounds. He was tremendous. And Chris Middleton, 27 and 12. Brooke Lopez, 23 and 12. The team played well. The team played well. They played well enough to, try to overcome James Harden and Russell Westbrook tantrum, but it didn't work out. But to me, Giannis, yeah, he probably had a rough shooting night, 14 out of 25. It was a bad night for him, but at the same time, you still got the same production from him. Like, it takes a team to win. They shot horrible in the three-point line. I can't lie. They was 9 for 35 on the three, so they had a bad shooting night at the three-point line. But James Harden, they shot 21 out of 61 threes last night. That was a lot of 3 points. That was a lot of three-point attempts. But at the same time, Milwaukee Bucks, I think their situation and Giannis, he's getting more comfortable in his game. He's developing. He's developing his jump shot, and it's coming slowly. It really is.
But this is the thing, though. Giannis doesn't have another gear in his game or another offensive weapon to go to if he can't get to the rim. If he can't finish in the paint, he doesn't have any jump shot to offset the fact that he can't get into the paint. He has nothing else to be able to go to, unlike a Kevin Durant, unlike a Kawhi Leonard, unlike a Steph Curry, who can say, all right, you got the paint shut down. I'm going to sit out here and hit this perimeter shot. Giannis can hit those perimeter shots throughout the course of the game in the natural flow of the offense, but can you hit those perimeter shots with less than 2 minutes to go on the court? Like, no. When you have 2 minutes left in the game, can you hit those perimeter shots to help elevate your team to the next level and get them on a deep playoff run? I say no.
But listen, though, I think for Jay Williams, though, Jay Williams, he was on the Captain show, and he was breaking down how Giannis, set his shot for the three, and it was very impressive. Before I get into that, everybody go follow Wise Guys on Facebook, on Wise Guys, Instagram, Twitter, Instagram, These Guys Know Sports, and Twitter, Wise Guys _H, and we are here live on a Worldwide Sports Radio Network. And how Jay Williams broke down Giannis' shot, that he's not in the right form of shooting. And that's something that he definitely has to work on, because buckling your knees and your elbows like all the way out, you're going to shoot. You're not going to have a good percentage. You're not going to shoot well. And that's something that he does have to work on. And it is going to be offsetting. But until then, if the physicality and mental is working, why not? You just got to stop it.
Yeah, I think I seen something else too. They were talking about how he shoots better off the catch and shoot versus just straight up shooting the ball off the dribble. He does better with the catch and shoot versus off the dribble. He doesn't shoot very well off the dribble. But he has to improve on that if you want to have any chance in the playoffs or get into the finals. But another question for you on this segment. Was this game more about the Bucks or the Rockets?
Let me be honest with you on this situation. It's the Rockets,
okay,
man.
Okay. Okay.
The Rockets. In my opinion, it's definitely the Rockets. I truly believe that the Houston Rockets are sending a message in the Western Conference. Okay. Over the weekend, I had a lot of debates with my family, with my boy DJ Gooden. Shout out to DJ Gooden if you're watching the show. He honestly said, like, you know, you see the top 10 duos, the top 10 duos, they had Kawhi and George at two. And he said James Harden and Russ should be number two. And Kawhi and PG should be number three. And I was telling him, like, nah, man, they got a better defense. But he was thinking James Harden gives them 40 points. Gives them 40 points every time. But I said, nah, they got a nice defense. And they're very efficient on the defensive side. And they can play, they can shoot the ball and score. He was like, nah, man, he truly believed that the Houston Rockets can knock off the L.A. Clippers. And the L.A. Lakers. He think he can knock out – they can knock out both one of those teams. And it was just amazing because I'm like
– See, let me address that real quick. I think we were going to talk about that after this. We're going to talk about that. That was the next question, actually. Do you believe that there's any chance the Rockets can upset the Clippers or the Lakers? Before we get into that, you got anything else you want to say about what this game was about, the Rockets or the Bucks?
Well, the Rockets, though, I think they got they're performing, and one thing they is performing, like they're centering, like, what, 6'7", Robert Covington is the tallest guy. It's actually having some progress with it. They're dominating the rebounds. They James Harden played tremendous defense last night on Giannis, and I think they wanted it more, even though Harden had a bad shooting night, but Russell Westbrook came and prevailed and helped them out and led. I think him taking less shots and not forcing all his shots is going to make this Rockets team better and more smoother when they're playing. And for James Harden, he's got to get out the shooting slumps. Got to get out the shooting slumps, but he know how to get to the free throw line, so that's very effective. So I think it means more for the Rockets than the Bucks.
I agree with you about it. This game was more about the Rockets than the Bucks, but for different reasons. For me, it was more about defense. I can't believe I'm mentioning defense and the Houston Rockets in the same breath. I can't believe I'm saying it. I can't believe I'm actually sitting here today on Wise Guys, on the Worldwide Sports Network, and I'm saying a part of the reason why the Houston Rockets beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night was because of defense. But I'm saying it. I remember back in February, Clarence, after the All-Star game, I don't know if you remember this, Giannis and Harden around that time had a little beef going on in the media.
Yeah.
And so Giannis said after the All-Star game, he said, we were trying to get the ball to whoever was going up against James Harden. Whoever James Harden was guarding, that's what we wanted to get the ball to.
Shade.
Just disrespected James Harden, throwing shade in James Harden's direction. And last night, as I watched that game late, I saw James Harden make two defensive plays on Giannis when the game mattered the most. I saw it, Clarence, with my own eyes.
Yeah,
and believe me, I was shocked too. I saw him on that. And I said, what?
I agree.
He had two steals on Giannis and made two big time defensive plays on Giannis late in that game that helped the Houston Rockets win the basketball game. So I want to give some credit to James Harden and his defense that helped the Houston Rockets win the game last night, because there was one play in that game where Giannis had gotten to the paint and James Harden stripped him of the basketball. And it led to a Russell Westbrook layup on the other end for the Rockets. That's what the Rockets are going to have to do if they want to have any chance of upsetting the Lakers or the Clippers in the second round, the playoffs. They have to be able to get key defensive stops and finish in transition. Because once you going up against these teams like the Lakers, who have trees in that paint, you want to get some easy buckets in transition on a fast break. You see what I'm saying? That'll help you and get more points up on the scoreboard. But overall, I was impressed with the Houston Rockets defense last night.
See, I was having another conversation with my family member, my cousin Chris, man. Hey, shout out to you, Chris, baby, if you watching this, man, because I'm about to speak some stuff. He was stating that the Rockets are the best team in the bubble. He's stating that the Rockets is the best team in the bubble. And to me, I believe that they're like a dark horse team in a Western Conference. Like James Harden and Russell Westbrook tangent, that's very scary. And in simple fact, they have a lot of success as running that small ball. Some teams be fearing them. Like teams be fearing them. Like Portland tomorrow, they probably about to feel that small ball. Even though they got the advantage of Toots, Jurkic, and Zach Collins and Hassan Whiteside, even Melo, they go feel like the small ball, like small ball situation. So I truly believe this Rockets team is like the dark horse, and they wanted it more, man. They just wanted it.
So let me ask you a question. Who do you believe the Rockets have a better chance of beating in the playoffs, the Lakers or the Clippers?
Clippers.
Wow. Okay, so why?
Definitely because I believe, like, they can match up. They match up very well, like, on both sides, like, on the defensive side of the ball because, like, now we just seen James Harden had two clutch steals against the Greek freak Giannis. That he's getting like quick hands, and I think for like Russell Westbrook, like he can be a big threat to Patrick Beverley. And Beverley, yeah. You know, they have their like they problems back in the past, and it's like they play mind games. But remember, Westbrook say he's just a fake. He doesn't play defense, so that can mess with his mental, like Beverley's mental. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. I think. Like for James Harden though, like if he shows up, I truly believe he got the better chance against the Clippers. For the Lakers, nah, they definitely gonna like beat him with that Anthony Davis down there in the paint because nobody on that team can guard Anthony Davis. They got a chance at playing the Clippers because they're closest like to them because they literally play small ball at times too.
Yeah, but I disagree with you. I think they got a better chance against the Lakers than the Clippers because the Clippers they have. Great perimeter defense and Patrick Beverley, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, you know, Morris, we got there on the perimeter from time to time. I don't think the Rockets will shoot particularly well against that Clippers perimeter defense. I think they'll struggle with those elite defenders in the Los Angeles Clippers. Paul George is an elite defender. Kawhi Leonard is an elite defender. Patrick Beverley is an elite defender. You know, Morris, he's a nice defender as well. I think they'll struggle with that perimeter defense that the Clippers will throw their way. Compared to the Lakers playing that small ball, the Lakers are a team that like to play big. So I think the Rockets, they'll have a better chance against the Lakers because if they're going small, you force a Dwight Howard, you force a Anthony Davis to come out there on the perimeter to defend. They're capable of doing it, but taking them away from that rim and having to come out there and defend those three-point shots could really help the Rockets, and it could really, you know, expand a lot of energy from the Lakers bigs that they might not want to expand. Because basically, if you gotta go out there on the perimeter and guard all those perimeter players, it can really cause you to lose some energy for the offensive end. I know offensively that the Rockets have no answer. I'm sorry. I know defensively the Rockets have no answer for the Lakers, Anthony Davis whatsoever. They have no answer for Anthony Davis whatsoever. But I also think defensively they may struggle as well, talking about the Lakers, against the Rockets because they got all those bigs going out there on the perimeter and guarding those perimeter players could be tough on them. So I think it's going to be easier for the Rockets to beat the Lakers than the Clippers. But that's just my opinion. You got yours. Let's move on. Let's talk some NFL. Let's talk about Tyreek Hill. And we've been putting this off for a couple of weeks. We were supposed to talk about this a few weeks ago on the show. We were thinking about NFL best receivers. And one of the receivers that we thought about was Kansas City Chiefs receiver Tyreek Hill and Super Bowl champion, by the way. Got to remember to put that on these boys' resume when we introducing these guys now, Clarence. They want you to know that they won a Super Bowl. So the question here is Tyreek Hill a top five receiver in the NFL?
Straight. I truly believe that Tyreek Hill, a.k.a. the Cheetah, is a top five receiver in the NFL. He is. There's two things. One, he's fast. Two, he's a threat. And hold on, one more. He is the most important weapon on that Kansas City offense and to Patrick Mahomes. I agree. And here's another thing. You can line him up anywhere on the field without even having a quarterback to throw to him. He's a threat. He's a threat in the punts and the kick returns. Hell, even at running back. I truly believe, like, he's a top five receiver and he doesn't get a lot of mention because people just think of him, oh, he's just a vertical threat. But this guy can really run routes and you can line him up anywhere on the field. Even you don't even have to use a quarterback. You don't have to use a quarterback to throw to him. Like, that's impressive right there. He got punt returns. He got, what, five in his career? So, if you want him to return some balls, like, he can do that for you. And here's another thing. He only played 12 games last year, and he 58 catches, 860, and 7 touchdowns. He was on pace to get at least 90 catches, 1,300 yards, and 12 touchdowns. So, we knew we was about to get out of him. So, I just think he's a top five player.
Okay.
I mean, he's a top five receiver. But I'll give you my top five receiver list if you want me to, though. But I'm going to let you
– Let me tell you the question. Is Tyreek Hill a top five receiver in the NFL? I say no. And I'm going to tell you my four receivers that I have over him. And then my five slot, I'm kind of going back and forth because I think Tyreek Hill might be on the verge, but I might have him at 6 or 7. I got four receivers I'm going to name you I think better than Tyreek Hill. DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Julio Jones.
Okay.
Odell Beckham.
No.
Yes. Devontae Adams.
No.
Michael Thomas. I think those receivers are better than Tyreek Hill. And Michael Thomas is kind of on the fringe because I think Michael Thomas benefits from playing in that Saints system with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. But I think I might give him a slight nod over Tyreek Hill. Listen, Tyreek Hill is obviously one of the best receivers in the NFL, and he's a speedster. We know that he has the fastest speed in the NFL at the receiver position. Like, he is off the chain fast. Like, he's ridiculous fast. Like, his nickname Cheetah fits him perfectly because this brother is fast. Yeah. But I think if you have a cornerback out there that can get physical with Tyreek Hill, I don't think Tyreek Hill would be as effective. But I think now that we're in a time where these receivers are getting the benefit of the doubt from these refs, I think Tyreek Hill is one of those receivers that benefits at the time right now. Like, I remember when I used to watch your boy, and that's my boy too. I will admit I was a fan. When I used to watch Ocho Cinco go up against Darrell Revis. When I used to watch Ocho go up against Darrell Revis in those playoff games when the Jets were playing your Bengals, Clarence. Darrell was shutting. He was shutting Chad down. He was, be honest. In those playoff games, Chad was shut down because of Darrell Revis. I think because we're playing in a time and age where – no, but I'm right. Darrell Revis was shutting Chad down. Because we're playing at a day and age where the referees are quick to throw these flags for these pass interference, and if you even breathe on a receiver, it's a penalty. I think Tyreek Hill is one of those receivers. Because of his speed, he benefits from the way the NFL is being played today. I think these other receivers that I just named, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Devontae Adams, I think those receivers in any era would be great receivers because I think they can deal with the physicality. I don't think Tyreek Hill really can deal with the physicality from a cornerback if he applies that pressure, if we're talking about earlier in previous years in the NFL. But I will give him his respect. He's a top 10 receiver in the league. I think he's the best receiver on that Kansas City Chiefs offense. But do I think he's top five? I say borderline. I say no, but he's still right there on the fringe of top five, like 6 or 7.
I'm going to give you my top five receivers before we move on, sir. Number one, DeAndre Hopkins, a.k.a. Nuke. Number two, Michael Thomas. Number three, Julio. Number four, the Cheetah. Number five, Mike Evans.
I don't think he's better than Mike Evans. Well, I don't know. That one's tough. Because, listen.
He had 1,000 yards, at least 1,000 yards. He's on pace to break A.J. Green. You know, with A.J. Green had 7 straight, what 1,000 yards, and Mike Evans, he's on like his 6-1. I think that's impressive, man. Even though I think that's still impressive, and he's going to benefit a lot. I think he's going to have a big year with Brady. I think he'll have a great year with Brady, and they go unlock some more talent out of him.
Well, why do you always try to disrespect Devontae Adams?
I'm not disrespecting Davante Adams. I think he is a top 10 receiver. I'm not disrespecting him. I'm really not.
So you rather have that? You rather have the cheetah over Davante Adams if you need a touchdown? If you need a play in the red zone to be made, you rather have Tyreek Hill over Davante Adams? I'm talking about making a red zone play.
Yep. Because guess what? I can line him up at running back, slot, outright, whatever. And I bet you I get a touchdown from him. But for Davante Adams, the thing I like about him is run after the catch. He's a great run after catch player. He really is.
He's a great route runner.
He is a great route runner. But for the physicality and beating people off the line and stuff,
That's what Davante does best.
On contested catches.
Tyreek Hill has speed. That doesn't mean you better than another player that beating him off the line. Like Davante Adams, he creates separation as soon as he gets off the line. Like they both great. That's another topic for another day. But I like Odell. You don't even got Odell in your top five, do you?
Nah, man, he had a down year last year.
How dare you disrespect the great Odell Beckham? Odell was better than Tyreek Hill.
He's number six. AJ number seven. Devontae's number eight. Stephon Diggs number nine. Amari Cooper.
Stop. You want me to go on? Devontae better than AJ Green. Stop. And not only that, Odell should be in your top five. Odell is better than Tyreek Hill. If Odell had hold on. Yeah, he better than Mike Evans too. If Odell had Patrick Mahomes, what would Odell do in that Kansas City Chiefs offense? I'll wait.
He was doing the stuff with Alex Smith, though. I mean, he shows his talent right there. His talent speaks. He played with Alex Smith. Now he played with Patrick Mahomes. Like, what are you trying to say? He had the same talent.
What I'm saying is everybody wanted to discount Odell last year, and I think Odell still had over 1,000 receiving yards last year. And that was in a terrible year for the Cleveland Browns. That was in a whole situation where it was just discombobulated all over the place, from the head coach to the quarterback, everybody. And guess what? Odell still had over 1,000 yards receiving quietly. So I think we got to understand that Odell's in a situation in Cleveland where his quarterback is developing. Compared to these other players like Julio, who got a Matty Ice, who has an MVP on his resume. Patrick Mahomes has an MVP and a Super Bowl championship on his resume. That's what Tyreek Hill was working with in Kansas City. And then, you know, I mean, these other players, Michael Thomas has a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. Even my boy Davante Adams. I love Davante. He got a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the ball. So that's what I'm saying. Oh, these other receivers, they have people throwing them the ball who are Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks and are proven. Odell doesn't have that luxury.
He had Eli Manning, so we just not going to forget about that.
Stop. Move on to the next
We're
topic.
Not going to forget about stop, Eli.
Don't bring up no damn Eli.
We're not going to forget about Eli, man. That's a Hall of Fame quarterback right there, but that's saved for another topic,
Man. Let's switch gears back to some NBA. As Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer and Thunder head coach Billy Donovan were voted the National Basketball Coaches Association co-coaches of the year. So my question for you is, Clarence, did the NBA get this right?
I was very shocked. I honestly was shocked that they gave it to two coaches and Billy Donovan. But I think they did get this right, though, because let's start off with Billy Donovan. When you look at him, though, he had Russell Wilson. It started with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. He had them answers together, and KD left. So he had Westbrook all alone, and he helped Westbrook developed to an all-around basketball player, like three
you
straight
said Westbrook
years.
Westbrook all alone?
No, I mean, what, for 3 years? I mean, when Paul George came, that I'm talking about, like, the year before, like, he came, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he started developing to, like, being an all-around point guard, and Billy Donovan was there for the success. So I salute him to that, and when PG came along, him and Melo, I honestly thought, like, yeah, they finna make some noise. Melo finna go big and stuff. But, you know, they got put out in the first round against, you know, your boy, your favorite player, Donovan Mitchell, it seems like. So,
yeah.
But
that's my guy.
The point is, Billy Donovan was there to help for the success of those players, you know. And I think he's well-deserving. And for Mike Budenholzer, you know, we seen his success. You know, he only missed the playoffs And in 7 years, he only missed the playoffs one time. And, you know, he was an assistant coach. He was assistant coach for the Spurs, won four titles for them. So he knows what has to feel to be on a championship contender team and to lead a team. And I think a two-times coach, I think he well-deserved, man. 327 wins and 232 losses. I think that's a good record on his resume, man.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that. I want to talk about Billy Donovan and what he's done for OKC this season. He's done an outstanding job as a coach for OKC this year because Clarence, coming into this season after losing Paul George and Russell Westbrook, I thought Oklahoma City was going to be in building season, and I thought they were going to have a major drop-off. I didn't even expect OKC to be a playoff team. Yeah. And not only are they a playoff team, they are our top five seed in the Western Conference. So Billy Donovan has done an outstanding job along with the assistance from Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul should get some MVP votes. I really do. Everybody talking about LeBron.
MVP?
And Giannis. Yes, I think Chris Paul deserves a few. What Chris Paul, Paul is doing. Look, Chris Paul has the Oklahoma City Thunder playing better basketball right now than what they were doing when they had Russ, Paul George, and Melo. Right now, Chris Paul has them at a higher seed in the Western Conference. Chris Paul is one of the most valuable players that we have in the NBA. We got to get Chris Paul some love, man.
Can I just what if Paul George and Melo still stay there, but they swap point guards with CP3 and Russell Westbrook? So Westbrook and Houston, CP3, OKC with PG and Melo. Do you believe they probably would have made a Western Conference trip?
That's a good question. That's
just real quick.
Because we know Paul George and Melo, they're scorers. They can create off the dribble, and they can also score points for their particular team. You know Chris Paul, he does an outstanding job of setting players up to be successful.
Yeah.
Because since he's been without Chris Paul, what has Blake Griffin even done in his career? I like Blake Griffin. I think Blake Griffin got nice upside, but Blake Griffin hasn't done much in Detroit. He ain't done much. In Motown, he ain't done much at all.
Making a lot of money.
making a lot of money, but when he was with the Clippers, Chris Paul was setting Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan up for the success they had on the court. He set them up perfectly. That's why I like Chris Paul. So I want to give Billy Donovan some credit for the job that he's done as a head coach for Oklahoma City, but I got to give Chris Paul some love as well. When it comes to Mike Budenholzer, I told you how great of a coach Mike Budenholzer is, and this is part of the reason why I think if you take Giannis off the Bucks, I still think the Bucks are a playoff team. I think Mike Budenholzer, as a coach, is one of the top coaches we have in the NBA, and he knows how to get the most from his players. So I think Mike Budenholzer, even dating back to his days as head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, they were a playoff powerhouse every single year. They just couldn't beat LeBron James. But they always got into the playoffs and were a top three seed under the stewardship of Mike Budenholzer. So I like the fact that Budenholzer got some love as well. And let's not forget, Nick Nurse, he was one vote away from it being a three-way tie for head coach of the year. So I just told you
about that.
Yeah, Nick Nurse was one vote away from it being a three-way tie for head coach of the year. And I just told you earlier how great of a job he's doing with this Toronto Raptors team who don't have a superstar on their team. Siakam is coming, but he's not a superstar just yet, Clarence. What they are doing with that team right now, they're really being led by Nick Nurse's leadership, and he's very quiet. He's very methodical about how he goes about doing his job. I like Nick Nurse, but you know, I don't mind him giving Mike Budenholzer and Billy Donovan the nod, but I want to give some honorable mentions to Nick Nurse and also Nate McMillan, head coach for the Pacers, because the Pacers, they had Oladipo all year long, and they still are in the playoffs right now in the Eastern Conference, and they'll be playing once the playoffs start in the bubble. They're a playoff team. So I like Nate McMillan as well.
One more coach you can also mention too, though, Trey. I give big shout out to Rick Carlisle for the Dallas Mavericks. They back in the playoffs since 2011, man. It's been a long time they've been back in the playoffs, man. So I'm very proud that they made it to the playoffs because the Grizzlies lost yesterday. So I'm very excited for what this Dallas team can do. They probably got the highest rated offensive team in the NBA. So him and Luka and KP, man, I want to see what they're gonna be about in the playoffs.
See, one thing about Rick Carlisle, I want to give him credit on. he found out earlier this year that he had to keep the ball and give the ball to Luka. Like he said, like he found out, like sometimes in sports we overthink things. It's simple. Get the ball to Luka and let Luka make things happen. And that's why we see the Dallas Mavericks balling out the way they are. Did you watch that game Friday night when they played the Houston Rockets? It was a high-scoring affair.
Bruh, but wow.
It was so entertaining. It was so entertaining. But they ended up losing that game. But overall, you're right. The fact that the Dallas Mavericks are in the playoffs and they about to make make some noise and they get the playoffs, you know, we'll see what happens. But I agree with you about that. So honorable mentions go to Rick Carlisle of the Dallas Mavericks, Nate McMillan of the Indiana Pacers, Nick Nurse of the Toronto Raptors. But congratulations to Mike Budenholzer and head coach Billy Donovan for winning co-coach of the year. So let's move on. Let's talk some NFL for the last few minutes we got on the show. Odell Beckham came out, and he said that he doesn't think the 2020 NFL season should go on because of the coronavirus pandemic. So do you agree with Odell that the NFL season should not go on as scheduled? And do you agree with him that the NFL owners, in so many words, are just selfish and only care about their money more so than the players' health and safety?
I think for the NFL owners' point of view, if one person dropped, the next guy is up. And for the players' point of view, we're still humans to this end of the day, man. Our safety comes first before a game of football. So I get where Odell was coming from, because at the end of the day, people is dying from this COVID-19. People are getting sick. More people getting diagnosed with it. But they've been getting positive updates on their testings. So it's very serious, though. And you even hear about the breaking news about the Cardinals game. They had some people had an outbreak of it. So
yeah.
I think from Odell's point of view, he wants the owners to take it more seriously than what they're doing right now, because I think that opt-out, like players opting out, the deadline is Wednesday. I think you might see a lot of players opt out tomorrow, even tonight. Hell, even – hey, you that opt-out team might get loaded up for real, though.
And by the way, I heard one of the McCourty twins, he went on record saying that he think it's crazy how the NFL, they moved the opt-out deadline up. They moved it up. Because I think they want to have it to where they know what players are going to be showing up for training camp, and they can just shut it down to where, hey, you had your chance to opt out. Now you have to play. But when it comes to Odell Beckham, you said you think that he has a point about the NFL owners want to take it more serious. I say to you and Odell, I don't think the NFL owners really give a damn. I'm just being honest. I know it's messed up to say, but we got to call a spade here. The NFL owners, they're not going to do anything that's going to compromise their quality of life. They want to be able to make money, Clarence. It's all about the dollar bill at the end of the day. And I think you and Odell Beckham need to understand that. We always try to make it seem like, hey, the NFL owners and people should care about the player's health and safety. Yes, that's the right thing to say. That's the right – that's lip service. Do you really ultimately care about the player's health and safety? No, because if you did, you would cancel the season. We know the NFL owners are about their money, and they're about their bottom line. And if their bottom line is being affected, they will do whatever is necessary to keep the game plan and keep their money flowing. And therefore, if it takes some players getting the coronavirus and expanding it to other players and their families in order for them to get their dollar bill, guess what they're going to choose? They're going to choose that dollar bill, and they're going to make the NFL season carry on.
It's like you reload. It's like, for example, like you reloading the gun and you shoot it, and you use up all the bullets, and you just got to get a whole new clip. Like, for their situation, man, it's just sad for Odell, man. They want them to hear them. I just truly believe that.
Yes, I agree with you. Everybody, remember, go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at @WiseGuys_8. It's also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Hey, Clarence, I'll be back on with you on Wednesday, bro.
Yes,
8
sir.
8 to 9 p.m. on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody have a great night. Peace.
Peace.